Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And I'm your host, Rick Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, we are talking about The Notebook.
The classic.
I can't believe we haven't done this one yet.
Oh, man, yeah. This is... A lot of stuff happens in this movie where you're like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. No is the general vibe of this movie if you're an adult watching it.
And here's the thing though, it also works. Like,
that's how hard that chemistry goes.
Yeah. I was like, man, you know, because we watch movies a certain way now, right? And it's hard not to, having done this for so long. But like, I'm sitting there, it's like, did I have to take a break? To go cry? Yes, I did. Did I pause the movie and have to go get some tissues? Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God, yeah, so emotional. You're not supposed to be together, but it's so beautiful.
Oh my God. Yeah, that chemistry is like, ooh.
Yeah, white hot.
Well, Ryan Gosling, Rachel McAdams. Oh, two Canadians,
by the way. Yeah! Canadian superstars.
We got our Canadian hard on for them. I don't know. That's a weird thing to say. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Get sexual that early. I love it.
This might be a horny episode.
If it's not horny, we're not doing our jobs right, quite frankly, Craig. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a horny movie.
And if you have not seen this horny movie, quick recap of the plot. This is The Notebook. So basically, it starts with an elderly couple in an assisted living house. How? Place? What do you call that? Assisted living residence, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're introduced to the. I'm going to spoil it for you. Old Allie. And old Noah.
Plot twist.
And he's reading to her every day to help with her dementia. And it's the story of this young couple, Noah and Allie, and about how they met and fell in love. It's basically starts with them in the 40s. And Noah sees this girl, Allie, at a carnival. And is like, that's the girl for me, and pursues her, jumps onto a Ferris wheel and hangs from it, threatening that she has to go out with him or he'll drop to his death. So that's how their relationship starts.
That's love, baby.
Anyways, he's this working class guy who works at a lumber mill, and she's like the daughter of these rich parents who are like summering in the town. But they go on a date and they fall madly in love with each other, and they kind of have this summer romance. And at one point, Noah sort of says to her, my dream is to buy this house, this old house, this old rundown house, fix it up. And that's going to be what I do. And they go out and they end up having sex in that abandoned house on a blanket. And because of that, they're out late. And Allie's parents get all upset and like, say this guy's trash and all the rest, and you know, you can't date him, and it's a summer fling and all the rest. And they leave town unexpectedly, or very suddenly the next day after Allie and Noah have this big fight. And so she leaves, and Noah, heartbroken, writes her a letter every day for a year and never hears back from her. So he moves on, goes off to war, his friend dies, they get back, he gets back, his dad gives him. Sells his house to give him the money to make over the house that he always wanted. And he's trying to move on with his life. Meanwhile, Allie volunteers as a nurse to help wounded soldiers and meets Lon Hammond, played by James Marsden, who she falls madly in love with because he's charming, good looking, funny.
Yeah.
He's like from money, got a good job, like just basically the perfect guy.
That's a triple yum.
That's
right
a triple
yum. Yeah. Across the board.
Yeah. Also, super respectful of her. Anyway. And then they get engaged, and then she's at like her dress fitting, I think, sees her wedding announcement in the paper, opens it up, and below it is this picture of Noah in front of his house that he's finished up.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun. Faints. And then she goes to Lon and says, you know what, I'm going to need to get out of town and deal with a couple things. And he's like, okay. And so she goes back to the town and almost immediately.
They're going to Pound Town.
They just get together. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. But they get together, and then her mother shows up and is like, Lon knows because your dad told him. And it's like, then you got to choose. And there's that very dramatic, what do you want? You know, and Noah is basically being like, what do you want?
Hate that scene.
You hate that scene?
No, I don't like it.
Okay, we'll get into it. Very iconic, though.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this whole thing, and it's like, will they or won't they? And this is, of course, interspersed with the older versions of them. And there is a small, there's a reveal that they are the characters from this story, and he's telling them the story of how they met, which is sweet as hell. Like the...
yes, absolutely. Like the older couple, that's the couple where I'm like, yo, okay.
Yeah. This
you're making me feel things.
This makes it worth the journey.
So crazy.
Then, Allie remembers that the story is about them. It is the most heartbreaking scene in the world because then she starts...
Try not to cry. I dare you to try not to cry.
She starts sundowning and needs to be sedated. And
I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Stop it. We got to stop.
We're like 10, 5 minutes into the podcast. We're just like openly weeping.
Yeah, just...
And anyway, the movie ends with... they both are having health complications, and Noah crawls into bed with her in the dementia ward, and she asks, do you think our love can take us away? And then they pass away together.
Oh, my God, stop. I can't look at you. I can't look at your eyes.
I know, I'm tearing
up. We're both looking misty over here. I can't even look at you, dude. I look down at my paper like a hardened man going, nope.
comedy podcast.
I always call myself, if I'm trying to get it together, I call myself Reeds in my head. I'm like, get it together, Reeds. Like I'm my own coach or something. Buck up. Why is that the noise? A bucket.
It just is.
That's
the sound of you swallowing emotions. Nope.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah. Like I watched the movie earlier today. That's it. Cause like, I just kind of ran out of time. I was like, plus I've honestly watched this movie so many times that I'm like, I know what we're arguing about, but, I of course wanted to get one last watch in. And I was like, I forgot that I can't stop crying after I watch this movie. Like I'm literally like getting in the Uber to get here, like in sunglasses, like I'm hungover. And it's just cause I was blubbering not moments ago. Yeah. Like, dude. Yeah. Oh my God.
This will make you a little puffy going out. Yeah, for sure.
Especially like one of my biggest fears of all time is having like dementia. Like I think that's like one of the scariest things like a person can go through. It's just like if people ask me what my fear is, I'm like, that's number one.
Yeah.
Without question. And fuck, man. Like every time I watch that, I just start blubbering. Like he's terrified. She's terrified. They're both so, I can't.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh my God. I don't even care if I don't think those two characters younger should be together. I'm like, but you should be together now. Like, I just don't care. I think it's truly the thing that makes the movie really sweet.
It is.
If it wasn't interspersed with this, like, although I will say, like, they have undeniable chemistry, like, I'd probably be on board anyway. Yeah. But this really does make the movie much, much sweeter.
Well, because it works out.
Well, yes, you get to see that final.
It's not, Yeah, it's like not the, and they all lived happily ever after. Uh-huh. And you go, like, because we've covered a lot of romantic comedies and romances where they go like, oh, they got together. And you go, what does the week after this look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these people are awful people. They're just together at the end because you, the movie requires it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But we go like, what is this? What is this 2-3 years down the line? And this movie answers that. And they go, it worked out. And
they figured it out. They tried hard at it every day.
Yeah. And it did. And it doesn't, I wouldn't say that's a happy ending for them.
No,
it kind of is. Like, it's a romantic ending, but it's like,
it's also devastating.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
a,
devastating.
It's like a real, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you'll be old and die.
Yes.
Day.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, so I guess the villains of this movie. Who
well, definitely her parents, for sure. Yeah. Allie's parents are definitely the villains. I actually don't even know their names. I just keep writing them down as mom and dad.
Yeah, I have
like,
them
mom
here
and dad,
as Allie's
mom
parents.
And dad, because it's always like daddy, mommy. Like, yeah, that's who they are.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
mom and dad. And I would say, like, I don't know, like, I was trying to think if her fiance could be a villain, and it's just so hard to argue that the movie even sees him as a villain. Like, he's just so above and beyond wonderful. I think he represents a concept the movie is against, which is, like, richness.
Okay.
Like, having money is, like, is not what you should be going at. Like, that's kind of, like, the plot line of,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's, like, status.
Status and money and those
acceptable
sorts of things. And he kind of represents, like, her... Like, an extension of her parents' approval,
yes,
in a sense. And that's not what we want, but, like... I don't know if we can exactly color him as a... He's truly wonderful. Like, he's literally wonderful.
Yeah.
There's no...
He does nothing wrong.
Literally, when he comes... When he shows up, okay, after she's been... She just immediately has an affair. Okay, like, she arrives and gets dicked down so fast. Okay, like, immediately. Okay, like, and I get why. It's a super hot scene. Like,
I came here to run over your fence and get laid. And I already ruined your fence.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Like, that is, like, I don't know. Anyway, so... And his response to this is that he's like, okay, I kind of have three options here. I could shoot him, I could beat him up, or I could leave you. And I don't want to do any of those things because none of those things give me you. Oh.
What a line.
Woo! Oh my God. I was fanning myself. I was like, that is, you're right. That is the answer. Woo! Yeah, that is like literally the perfect answer of like, in today's society, these are the only things that would be found acceptable, and yeah, I'm unwilling to do any of them. Fucking sploosh, dude. Woo! Yes, I am at... Oh, man, I'm Team Lon all the way. Even that... Even with a name, Lon!
Yeah, Lon Hammond is one of the worst names I've ever seen.
Jesus
I was like,
Christ.
I was looking it up on IMDb, and yeah, I was like... Lon,
man, that is not, I don't know if I could passionately be having sex with a man named Lon, but I do it for Lon.
Like, yeah. Yeah. James Marsden Lon.
Woo, that's 5-star. That is 5-star. You got a great meat story. He
yes,
doesn't do anything emotionally manipulative at any point in this movie.
No. Nope.
He is just a wonderful man doing wonderful things.
Yes. And I would like to contrast the two stories of yeah, them getting together with Allie. So Lon is met, she meets him, he's in the hospital. He's a wounded soldier. He's in like basically a full body cast.
Yes.
Right? She's helping him up and he's like, I would like to take you on a date and I assure you my intentions are not innocent,
yeah,
right? Like he's like, I'm going to be a little rascal. And like, that's actually like a hilarious thing to say.
Oh, so charming.
So charming.
So charming.
Especially
charming
when he's like, in traction.
Yeah, so when there's like nothing he can do
yeah,
right
like,
now. Like this is, you are zero danger.
Zero danger. And then he shows up again later, just in his military dress uniform outside of this like hot fucking 40s car, just leaning against it, makes eye contact with her and is like, how about that date now? Like, that's great. Compare that to, I saw a girl in a bumper cars who was with another guy, and I was like, I'm gonna make her mine, and I hung off a Ferris wheel until she said go out with me, and then we laid in the road on our first date. Like, come
on. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Lawn rolled up looking like a honey. Oh my God. Like, she didn't even recognize him, and all of her friends were like, check out
that
10-star hotness. Yes. Okay. Yeah. These are just yeses across the board. This guy's like, and you know me, like, I'm not a fan of big money. Okay. Not a fan of big money. If it's Lon's big money, yes. Well, yeah.
But they also make a really good point. They make a point to point out. Oh, that doesn't work. but that Lon has like old money, but like works for himself.
Like, he went to war. Like, you know what I mean? he's out there. He's doing shit. He's very charming.
Yes.
He's like, they give him some arrogance, but like a very charming sort of rascal kind of arrogance, yes, where you're like, oh, like, but you're still like a really great person.
Yes. And also, that's kind of what Allie is into, like that kind of like, like a guy who's kind of like challenges her a little bit and is like pokes at her a little, you know, like they've got that proposal scene with Lon. I was like, I loved that.
Yeah, so did I.
I was like just kind of like mixing it with that joking arrogance of like, your parents love me so much. And like, you know, I'd have to, if you married me, you'd just be giving in to your parents
because it's so good. Yeah,
I love
they
that. Approve of me and they like you so much, and you'd be giving up on this lifelong thing of like saying no to your parents or whatever. And then she's like, well, I think this is so charming. She's like, I think you have a little high impression of what my parents think of you. I think it'll be harder for them to get your permission than you think. And he goes, no, I already asked them, they said yes, will you marry me? And he just pulls out the ring like that. You're like, oh. Blindside. I was interested to see what you thought of that, because I know you've got very strong opinions
proposal about, opinions. Yeah. Yes, I do have strong proposal opinions. I love this proposal because, number one, it's pretty low key, which I like. Okay. Yeah. Like, it's got a very charming build to it. And the main thing to this proposal that I absolutely love is that it is in public, but he never calls attention to it until it's done.
Yeah.
Until we've got yeses across the board, we're in approval zone. Okay, he grabs the mic. He's excited. I'm gonna marry that woman. That's great. Okay, because my least favorite thing of all time is, let's call the attention of everyone in this room, and then I'm gonna ask you the question.
No,
that's not a real, like, you know what I mean? That gives me so much anxiety. I'm like, how could you get a true answer in that moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're really putting me on the spot. Okay. But he does it really low key, just kind of him and her. This is our moment. You say yes. And now we're having like a bit of a, like, just a quick thing. He gets off the mic. We're fucking done.
And
chef's kiss.
And now there's people around to celebrate it.
Yes!
You know, like, it's
buy
like,
a couple drinks, have a nice evening. That's fun.
You had some friends there. Yeah. She had some family there. Like, it was all, great proposal.
Yes, that's five stars. Five stars, love it. And I'm not, and you know, I'm not a fan of the public proposal.
Nope.
Okay, but he nailed it. I'm a big fan of Lon. Big fan. Across the board, you cannot find a decision that Lon makes that I don't like.
Yeah, and I especially like when she is like, I need to go back to the town to like sort out some things. So that scene is just what a wonderful demonstration of how great Lon is.
Oh.
Because she shows up at work and he goes, oh, I wasn't expecting to see you. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm a stupid woman or something. I should have called. And he goes, no. Like, you're my fiance. I love seeing you. This is great that you're here. Get out of here, guys. Like, I was in the middle of a meeting, but my wonderful fiance just showed up, so I'm gonna like talk to her for a bit.
Oh.
Was so welcoming immediately, and then she's like, "I need to sort some stuff out," and he's like, "Do I need to be worried about anything?" And she's like, "No," and he's like, "Okay,
yeah,
go, see you later, have fun."
Yeah, he's like, "Cold feet, super normal, like just very understanding." She's like, "I don't paint anymore," and he's like, "Well, maybe you should paint then." Like,
yeah, he's like, weird that you haven't mentioned that, and it's so important to you, but go paint.
That scene, like the way she kind of says it, because that kind of bothers me a little bit, because it's always like, I think that scene's supposed to be read as like, I'm a different person when I'm with you than when I'm with him, right? Like, I'm more artistic and passionate, and I do all these crazy things, sure, and whatever, and I paint and I'm whatever. But it's like, his answer is so well, then you should paint. Like, nobody, like, this guy is not bringing you down at all. Okay. Like,
no.
There's a part of her brain, I think, that feels like she's like being tethered. You know what I mean? Like, she's getting pulled down a bit. And I'm like, no, this man is only lifting you up. Like, everything this guy says is so supportive. Like, I'm in love with this man.
Like, there is probably a scene that is not in this movie where Lon comes home from being broken up with, and yeah, he just goes back to their place and takes a newly bought easel and canvas and throws it in the garbage.
Yeah, totally.
Mean? Where he was like, this will be a great little gift for when, yeah, she comes home, a little pre-wedding gift, you know?
Nah.
I was like, because I'm sure you've done that before. You're like, oh, this is something that's like really thoughtful. This person will just love this, and I can do this for them. And I'm, yeah, Lon's the kind of guy who would do that. He for sure had that all set. He had like a little studio set up at their new place, you know.
Oh,
and then he had to go home and sit there by himself.
I'm not worried about Lon though. Lon's bouncing back.
I think they even say that Lon bounced back pretty well, right? Do they give Lon like a anyway? He like went off and like married some other woman or something.
I can't remember that part. Yeah. I don't know if they ever touch back on him, but like it doesn't matter because in my mind I'm like, Lon's getting laid.
Yeah.
Lon's, you know what I mean? He has to be out on the town for 5 minutes. He can have his pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a 5-star. All right.
For sure. Lon is spreading some wild oats after this. You know what I mean?
Like, I hope so. Like, for Lon.
For Lon.
Lon deserves it. Love me some Lon. And it's so funny because when I watched this movie, like I obviously watched this movie a fucking ton when I was a teen. Like this was the romantic movie when I was a teenager.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like this was the yes.
It was everywhere.
Watched it all the time. Bawled my eyes out. Love it. And it's just so funny because like I haven't watched it in a really long time. And just going back to watch it as like a, as an adult person and going, oh no, I have switched teams so quickly. Like I absolutely team Lon.
Team
like,
stability, please.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Because yes. Like, okay. So we should probably get to her parents. Like her parents are really the main villain. Like her mom mostly.
Yeah,
but
for
both
sure.
of her parents.
I do just want to say one final thing about Lon.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is there is a scene which I think can be taken as like, look at how controlling he is or whatever, where it's like he calls the hotel.
Oh no, that's not
exactly. Nah. No, because she's this woman traveling alone in the 1940s. He hadn't heard from her and wanted to make sure she arrived okay. Like there's no text message. You can't be like, arrived here, good. Like he was just like, you drove for like hours. I didn't hear from you. Wanted to make sure you're okay. And then he says, should I be worried? Like he knows a little bit. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know. Okay. Everything she says has a bit of texture on it. Yeah. You're like, oh no.
Yeah,
something smells foul.
But it's also very telling. I will say that they are engaged. They know a lot about each other and he doesn't know about Noah until the father tells him. Wouldn't be engaged to somebody and not have had conversations about literally the most significant exes that you've ever
had? At least like the names are there. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
like you've got
yeah.
some timelines. I'm not saying you need like full descriptions of what went down, like, but just some loose facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Just knowing the name, not being surprised when you hear the name, stuff like that. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. So.
So why don't we jump off from there? Okay. Because that's one of the, we can kind of start from there, work our way backwards maybe a little bit. Because like the dad tells Lon, I am team the dad telling Lon for sure. Okay.
Okay.
I actually think that was a really great decision on the dad's part. Okay. I don't think like, first of all, like, yes, like she's engaged to this man. Okay. Like,
yeah.
he deserves to know what's going on.
Yes.
He absolutely deserves to know what's going on. And I understand that's your daughter, but at a moment it's kind of like, well, we have to correct some of, like, this is too crazy. She's been gone for days.
Not calling anybody.
Not calling anybody. We know what's going on. This guy comes to your house freaking out. I haven't heard from her. Like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you got to spill the beans.
Yeah.
You got it. You seem hesitant. No, I'm wondering if you feel differently.
No, because he knows, the dad knows what's up. Like,
oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like the parents, no, this isn't like they're going to like a major city.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to this very particular small town.
Yes.
That they visited in the summer where they had probably the biggest argument they've ever had with their daughter over this guy. And he's showing up. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the dad knows what the daughter's doing the second that she goes.
Yes, this is 100% the correct decision.
Also, the mother was there when she fainted seeing his picture. So she knows.
She knows. She goes to warn her.
Yeah.
Okay, so she arrives. First of all, another great move. Hey, they're coming. Put some clothes on. They're coming.
You're literally painting naked on a balcony when she shows up.
Yeah. Like, I don't know who she thought was at the door. You know what I mean? Like, who? What was the acceptable person on the other side of the door?
Nobody.
Nobody, right? Because, because
Noah would have just come in.
Come in. It's your home. Knock, knock, knock. Unless he's, like, already initially, like, role play. Milk's here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not... So I don't know who was expecting.
You work at a lumber mill and are literally the toughest guy I can imagine, but please role play as a milkman.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that's like,
yeah. yeah. And just rolling the clock back a bit. So sort of the things that like lead up to this in terms of the parents.
Yes.
So like back when they were teenagers.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I'm just going to say the dad is actually pretty chill.
He is very chill for what I actually remembered him being.
Yeah.
Like I remembered him being way harsher and now I'm watching him like, oh no, that guy was so relaxed. Like,
yeah. Like I think the first scene we see him, so he's like this Southern guy with like this big mustache and that slow drawl. And you're like, oh, you're going to be like that crazy overprotective father. Mm-hmm. And so you see him like on the porch in shadows, right? After she's just like ripped the face off of Noah, like just sucked his freckles off.
Yeah.
Like they are just going at it hot and heavy in this car, in the driveway, unknown to them, right in front of her father. And he just says, you're getting awfully friendly with that boy, eh? And you go like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
And you know, like the shotgun or whatever. And then he goes, invite him over for dinner on Sunday. I'd like to have a conversation with him. And you're just like, oh, that's the nicest. Like this, like he's not like, I don't want you being with guys like that. He's not like, you're too young or to like be making out with boys. He's just like, you're going to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Let's have him over so I can size him up. Love it.
Yeah, have him over for Sunday. Like, that is such a reasonable response. It's like,
it's kind. It's nice. Yeah. Even. Yeah. It's like, okay, you're going to see this guy. Let's get to know him.
Introduce him. Even their friends come. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Noah's friend. And they're,
yeah. It's so funny because that scene on Sunday, like when they're in that like Sunday brunch or whatever lunch you want to call that.
Yeah.
It's very, like, it's obviously very, what am I looking for? The word, like, oh my God, I am losing
posh,
my mind.
Like upper class.
It's posh upper class, but it's also very deliberate that they're all dressed in white and he's the only person dressed in black. Did you notice that? No, Noah.
Oh, I did not.
Noah's the
that.
Only person dressed in every single other person at that table is dressed in white. Noah's dressed in black because he's the black sheep.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, but now when I watch that, watching it through our lens, I'm like, it's because he's the evil one. Get that devil out of your kitchen.
He's bad.
He's bad. Run.
And like, there is this awkward moment at that dinner or the lunch, I guess, where somebody asks Noah, and it's not the mother. And it's not the father.
Yes.
Ask Noah how much he makes at the lumber mill. And he's like 40 cents a day. And everyone kind of like goes silent. And then the dad's just like, let's not talk about boring stuff like money. And he just goes on and keeps telling dirty jokes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Yes. And he does it again later on when they're talking about when the mother brings up that she's going to a different school than she said.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is also not a bad thing for her to bring up.
No, there is a little condescension where she's like, that's in New York City. Like,
yeah,
like
but he also doesn't know that.
Okay.
Is it condescending if you actually don't know? You know what I mean? Is it?
Yeah. Fair enough.
I
want to see the longer version of that. Well, she's going to Syracuse or Sarah Lawrence. That's in New York. That's far away. New York is a city in New York State.
Yeah. No. I think that's super fair that she's dropped that. Like, I mean, there's a hint of like she probably knew that he didn't know, but man, yeah. I don't give a fuck. Okay, like quite frankly, I don't care. He needs to know that information. She is correct. I don't find it condescending if he doesn't know. He looked confused. He needed to know. Okay, she could tell there wasn't any panic in his eyes. So she's like, oh, it's just so you know. It's far away, Buster.
Yeah.
Right? Because like also they have to know at that point that this isn't like, I think the dad keeps calling it a summer love because he's like, oh my God, this is like toxic. Like, cause they're in like a super toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And I think there's just the general hope is that this is going to wrap up without our intervention. I think that's reasonable.
Too.
I think that's what he's wishing out loud of like, this is just a summer romance. Please don't do this. This man is horrible.
Yes.
He's horrible.
He is. He's not. They said they fought constantly.
Yes. Constantly. And it's like, okay. And I actually have like a really big problem with this because The thing is that I feel like, and maybe I'm just like in my head, I'm exaggerating the impact of this movie, but in my head, I'm like, even like, at least for myself, I'll make it personal instead of just making it general. I'll make it personal. Okay. I watched this movie so much when I was a teen. I felt like in my mind, I kept thinking that yelling was passion because I kept misinterpreting. So I really equated yelling to passion. I was like, oh, this is like, you guys are passionate about each other or whatever. And it's not until I started getting older going, oh no, this is just like destructive and abusive and terrible.
Right, this
is just like two people ripping each other apart or one person ripping the other person apart. This is not healthy. We cannot do this. But this movie really, really does present this message of this yelling is actually just extended out to passion.
Yes.
And that is not correct.
No, it's not. Yeah. Real bad.
It's not good. And it's really presented as like, look how much we love each other.
Well, and like, yeah. And there's kind of this like underlying assumption in a romance movie that these two characters belong together.
Yes.
Whoever the romantic leads are, right?
Uh-huh.
They belong together. There is like true love and like, they need to be together. So by presenting it as like, but also it's hard, they go like, yeah, they're going to have to work on it. But because they belong together, that's good. Right? Where as soon as you take away the assumption that they belong together and you go, you've got to work at this real hard. And you go, is that good?
Yeah.
And no judgment if like, you know, you work hard at your relationship and, you know, you don't always see eye to eye or whatever, but like, is working so, so hard at a relationship all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And don't get me wrong. There are times when you got
to. Oh,
you
know, like, we all got to work. Yeah.
But it just being like that you're constantly at each other's throats. I think that would get old very quickly.
Oh, with certainty. Yes. Like somebody's exhausted.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's really like that. So the whole scene where they're outside the car and he's like, what do you got to make a decision basically, right? Like, what do you want? What do you want? Right. They're both like screaming at each other. And it's like, he even says stuff where he's like, you know, we yell at each other all the time because I think you're a pain in the ass like 95% of the time. And I'm like, well, listen to that sentence for a second. Because, like, I don't think I would want to be with somebody that found me a pain in the ass 95% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, if I was with somebody and they were like, oh, my God, we're always making fucking jokes and I can't fucking stand it for another second. It's like, yeah, like, maybe don't be with me for sure.
Then. Yeah, I'm gonna crack wise.
Yeah, I'm going to crack wise. I'm going to enter a lot of rooms dancing for some reason, just hard locking eyes with you. Like, there's a lot to this. You have to accept a lot. And if you're not into it, okay, you better back up.
I love how your thing is like, I'm a lot to deal with. Sometimes I dance.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm going to enter into a room dancing.
You mean an expression of joy? Weird.
Yeah. I'm going to be joyful.
I think we're similar in that sense though. We're like, obviously like sets of humor is important.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, and being goofy with, you know, your significant other is important and like all the rest. But like, yeah, it's, man, They shouldn't be working that hard at it all the time.
No, not all the time. And like the way, even though, so we'll jump back, even the way they start this relationship, which is again why I'm so team her parents separating these two people. Okay, because like you said off the top, like he, his, for okay, so first thing he does is say, "Will you dance with me?" Which is
at a carnival. The guy next to her has cotton candy. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. Like that is not. Yeah, it's an interesting opener, but I understand why she says no.
Yes.
And then like her, like the guy she's hanging out with is kind of like, "Hey, buddy, like back off." She said no, and he's trying to do that thing like, "Well, why not?" Ew. I hate that. Like. If somebody asks you out, or like if you're asking somebody out and they say no, just take the no.
Yep.
Take the no. Whatever the question, take the no. Don't be like, "Well, excuse me, I need answers, stranger." Like,
yeah, literal stranger at this point.
You
literal
owe me
stranger.
An explanation, person I just met. I don't think so. Okay, excuse you. What the fuck is that, man?
Yeah, and like here's the thing: you shouldn't. Like, I know women use, like, the, "But I've got a boyfriend." No, I've got a boyfriend. And, like, you shouldn't need the girl to have a boyfriend in order to accept the no, right? But in this situation, what I would say is she is actively on a date.
She's literally on a date. Yes, yes. This is so disrespectful.
Yeah, that's like, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm on a date with this guy right now.
Plus, you know... that your buddy's girlfriend is friends with her. You're going to see this girl around town. You can do this literally tomorrow. Like, you can literally wait 24 hours and this would be so much more appropriate.
Yes.
Like, that's all you would have to wait. And then he hangs off of the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, that's a 1940s Ferris wheel. Like this shit.
You see how fast that was going?
Woo!
It was like whipping around.
Yeah, whipping. And when that guy says, "Hey man, two people to a seat." Oh buddy. That's for real. Okay. We're in the 40s, son. Okay,
that seat is designed to hold 2.1 people.
Yes! Like we do not have the tech yet. Okay. I wouldn't be trusting that shit at all.
No, there's like fucking open gears and like shit. Like,
No. Okay.
But also a small little villain in this, now that we're on the topic of the Ferris wheel. If somebody jumps on your Ferris wheel and you need to get them off,
don't stop it when they're...
Thank you.
Sorry, I cut you off there.
That's it. That's exactly what I was going to say. Stop it when he's at the bottom. That's it. That's
no, all. You're 100% correct.
That bothered me.
Yeah, of course it did. Yes.
is a guy operating a Ferris wheel in the 1940s the most well-trained guy in the world? Probably not.
I don't know. His beard looked like he was.
Fair enough.
I was like, that's a man who knows his Ferris wheels.
Yeah. Oh, I know he knows Ferris wheels. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Anyway, yeah, so he like literally terrorizes her into saying yeah, like strong arms her, terrorizes her into
basically threatens suicide.
Threaten suicide to get a first date. Okay, that's like, I can't even count the red flags there. Like fuck man, you're skiing at this point. Like this is bad. Okay, there's so many red flags. I cannot. Anyways, she says yes just to get him down. Okay. And even her, again, her like partner there, like her date is like, "Hey buddy, like knock it off." Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely knock it off. I don't think that guy was being a dick at any point. Like they were like, "Look, he's being so harsh." No, he's not.
Not at
this
all.
Guy is a nightmare. Okay. He's having a mental breakdown after looking at, he knows nothing of this woman. He's exchanged three words with her. All he knows is she's in town for the summer and she's fucking rich.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Okay, that's all this guy knows. And he's like, "Well, that's enough."
Yeah.
To terrorize this woman into doing what I want.
And then on the first date, he then like has to persuade her that like she legitimately did say yes to the date. Mm. Later, because obviously she's like, "Well, you're serious about that? I just said that to get you down, you maniac."
I love that she says that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because that is the answer to that.
Yes. But then on their first date, mm-hmm. his big thing is lay down in front of the in the traffic. like lay down in the road.
Yeah.
And she's like, what happens if a car comes? And he goes, well, you'll die. Just trust me. And you go like, and he says, me and my dad used to do this. You go, what? Like,
like. You, when he said that, I was screaming.
Yeah, like, talk about red flags. First date, me and my dad used to lay down in the middle of the road for fun. Here's the thing. Like, Allie's parents are like, this attraction to dangerous men is not going to serve you
no,
well.
No, 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 no.
How do you feel about, like, the dangerous guy? Like, the you know? Because I think there is something, especially when you're young, where you're like, ooh, look at that guy.
Doesn't yeah, but I gotta shit. Say... 7 years later, your perspective always changes of that person.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to me that in this story, hers does not. 7 years, because it's 7 years passes.
Okay, between when they, that summer.
Yeah, and when she meets up with him again. 7 fucking years, okay? And she was 17 at the time. Okay, if you talk to me, okay, at 24 years old, about the guy I dated when I was 17, that's a nose across the board. Okay, that's all nose.
Right.
That's all like, oh, I have perspective on this now. That was bad. That was bad. That was a red flag. Okay. If I found, I swear to God, now this is just like a personal thing. I'm sure like maybe if it was a different person or whatever, but like if I found out that my mother had secretly kind of broken me and my boyfriend up when I was 17, I'd actually call her right now and be like, yo, thank you so much. Like, I'd be like, you saved me. That's the best. Like, yeah, I would be pumped. Okay.
I get what you're saying. Cause like, actually I do think that they do a pretty good job of this movie of growing up Noah. Like most of the reckless and crazy and stupid shit he does is when he's a teenager.
I disagree.
Fine. Okay. All right. We'll get back to that. But what you're saying is she hasn't had any contact with him, so she has no way to update.
No, absolutely. So you only have this version.
Other than, oh, look, he bought the house and he fixed it up. He did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His dream home, the plantation.
Yeah.
Woo! There's no way that's haunted.
Yep.
Jesus. Anyway.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. She hasn't. She just thinks it's the same high school guy.
Yes. Okay.
It'd be one thing if they like met back up together in the hometown, and then we're like, oh my God, we've changed, but like we're still have that chemistry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, she has just like teenage Noah in her head. There is nobody. Okay, fucking nobody I dated when I was a teen where today I'm like, oh yeah, that was a missed opportunity. Yeah. Like there's no part of me that feels that way. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody out there that feels that way.
Yeah.
I would maybe say probably let go.
Exactly. Like how do you not let it go?
Okay.
And here's I would also say this. You are not wrong, Allie's parents. This guy, like, it's done romantically in this movie, but like let's call a spade a spade. They have sex in an abandoned house on top of a blanket.
Yeah.
That's not like
she had to leave and get a tetanus shot. Okay. Like,
yeah. Like the back of the car would have been better, you know?
Oh,
like,
Hyundai P. Yes. 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 Although it all leads up to the moment where they're like, oh, this is the room. The room? Ooh, la la.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. It's changed so much.
So to get back to...
have the parents be like, I think our daughter can do better than a guy who has sex with her on a blanket in an abandoned house and who lies in traffic for fun. That is a completely reasonable statement, I would say, for the parents.
Dude, and yeah, like, when they call the cops, it is 2 a.m. and you're 17. Like,
yes.
I'm like, yeah, these are all slam dunks across the board. Yeah, this all makes sense.
I hope your parents are that worried about you.
Yes, terrified, right?
What a loving couple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you're well, like, when they said 2 a.m., because I thought they were going to say, like, 10 or something.
Yeah.
When they said 2 a.m., I was like, yo, that's late.
That's late for me now.
That's late for me now.
Yeah. Some ways have stopped running.
So, like, okay, so to get back to your point where you were like, okay, so, like, Noah actually does some growing up.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I actually disagree. Okay. Because first of all, they say, okay, so like he contemplates burning it to the ground.
Oh, true.
Okay. That does not sound like the actions of a stable man to me. Okay. Or the stable thoughts. Okay. Okay. I can understand them. Have I had thoughts like that myself? Absolutely. Okay. but I can recognize in that moment that I wouldn't call myself stable. You know what I mean? I just go, oh, we gotta work on that. Let's throw that out. That's
what a
dangerous.
Stable and mature thought you just had, yeah,
Rebecca. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You can't. Anyway, then he, okay, there's like this, and it's supposed to be seen as like, because he goes, they literally call it madness, okay, at one point. They were like, you could call him obsessed, or you might call him a little mad, okay? And I would definitely go for the latter, okay? A little mad, because he goes nuts about building this, like, just fixing this whole fucking house up, right?
Yeah.
He spends all his time fixing this house up. He then goes, okay, do I burn it to the ground, or do I sell it? Then he goes through this whole thing. He gets rip-roaring drunk for 10 days, okay? At which point, this has got to be like 6 years later or seven, you know, we're in between 6 and 7. Like we're cusp of them getting back together, right?
Oh, that does happen closer to them getting back together than I thought.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. Really close. Like we're on the heels of this, right? So this guy's like was literally just spinning out. Okay. He gets rip-roaring drunk for 10 days, tries to decide whether he's going to burn it down or whether he's going to sell it. When he decides he's going to sell it, he finds an excuse for every single person, but not even in like a light way. Like he literally draws a gun on a man for offering him more money than what he wanted.
Yeah.
Those are the actions of someone unhinged.
That is a madman.
Yes,
that is
that's a madman. Okay.
I think the line was, he offered me $5,000 over asking. Nobody in their right mind would do that. And I won't stand to have a maniac or an insane person living in my house.
Oh, too late, bud. You're there.
You're there.
You're him. Okay. The call is coming from inside the house, dude. My God. Okay. So he has this full ass breakdown. And then, like, we're supposed to be like, oh, isn't that like, cause I think the movie wants us to view that as like, he loves her so much. He's having this full ass breakdown. Isn't that romantic?
Yep.
I have never found that to be particularly romantic. I'm going to be honest with you. Like when I was younger, now again, I was just making this personal, so that's probably why I feel this way. But I dated a guy one time where like we broke up. He cheated on me. We broke up. He went on this huge drug bender afterwards. And everybody was like, oh my God, like he just loved you so much. Like he's spinning out. He's spinning out. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a him problem. I was like, that doesn't sound, that's not really me in at all. That's like, oh, bullet dodged, man. We're doing it. Like, I can't.
He cheated on me.
Yeah.
Then he did drugs.
Yeah.
And then he felt bad.
Yeah.
This is not
crazy.
A me problem. This is not a me problem.
No, not a me problem. He's also the same guy. This was my all-time favorite. I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, but it's Chef's Kiss, one of the best sentences I've ever heard in my life. He called me back up like years later, like years. Okay, right. Like 10 years later, this guy calls me during the pandemic. We're chit-chatting, whatever. And he says this, and it's my favorite thing ever. He goes, Rebecca, I know I cheated on you, but you have to admit you were acting like a bit of a bitch. And I just think that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. I was like, I love that so much. Like front to back, that's perfection.
Just
the narrative on that. That is just a whole story arc
here
in that sentence.
Here comes the apology. Nope.
You were acting like a bit of a bitch. What was I supposed to do? I also was like, yeah, that was 10 years ago. I don't think about this anymore. Like, I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, the I don't think about you at all is a great response to
that. Well, it's just I don't. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But in that regard, I will say, I think there is some cruelty in Allie's action of showing up like that, unannounced at the house.
Like, do you think it's more cruel than what he does to Martha?
No.
Sorry, just
Martha. Martha is on this. Do you want? Let's go into Martha. Let's talk about Martha.
Oh, Martha gets done dirty. Done dirty.
Oh, I felt so bad for that woman. So she's a war widow.
Yep.
She's already lost somebody.
Yep.
Like heartbreak. Like she, you know, you're young. You were in love. Your husband went away to war and died. So she's kind of like
in need for companionship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wants to be held. She wants something
warm.
This is
a basic human need.
Exactly.
This is understandable.
She finds
truly.
Noah, good looking dude.
Yeah, he's all right. He's no lawn, but he's okay.
Fair enough.
He's no lawn.
You know, woodcutter's hand, you know, yeah. Like redid his house, stable job, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. That, like no, on paper, Noah in 40 or the 50s or whatever is a catch.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You know what I mean? So this woman's like, great. Local singles in your area. and they seem to be like, okay, but like neither one of them is in love with each other. And like, that's kind of like supposed to be the movie being like, see, you're not meant to be together. But she's just like,
I don't know. She's kind of into it. I think she's,
she is, but I think yeah. the movie. And I think her, she's like trying to make it work, even though she knows it's not going to, because she accepts it so fast when it's over, you know?
I know. Okay, but one thing that I really dislike that that Noah does is he kind of like, while they're in bed, she's kind of giving them this whole spiel of like what do you want? Like, I can tell when you look at me, like you're not looking at me, right?
You're just looking at another woman.
Yeah, you're looking at another woman, which is like true. You pick somebody that looks so close. She's got red hair. Like, I don't know. Like, that was very, that was a deliberate choice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
He is a type. You've picked somebody that looks super fucking similar to Allie. This all makes sense. Whatever. And he kind of gives her this little thing of like, I want to give you what you want. I want to give you what you want, but I can't.
Yeah.
And to me, that sounds like, sorry, I'm an asshole with more words. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just broken. I'm a dick. Sorry about it. And it's like, I fucking hate that so much, dude. Take a moment. Try and grow for a minute.
And here I think is the worst thing that happens to Martha Shaw.
Oh, Martha.
Which is that she shows up at his place.
Yeah.
Like, ready to have, like, a time. Like, they're going to hang out. She shows up with a pie. Do you realize she shows up with a
no,
pie?
No, I didn't even clock
that. She's carrying, like, a pie or some sort of baked good.
Yeah.
And when she arrives, Allie and Noah had just slept with each other. Mm-hmm. They're still in bed or, like, lying on the floor or whatever. And they're talking about what they want to get for breakfast. Martha shows up. Allie invites her inside, which is just a sort of fucking cruelty. Like, you don't know this woman. You don't know how she's going to react to the fact that you literally are cheating on right in front of her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being flagrant about it.
Well, then, I don't know if their agreement was, I would call that necessarily cheating. Like, I would call what Allie's
betrayal.
Doing absolutely cheating.
Yes.
I would argue that I don't really feel like Noah's cheating, because it kind of sounded more like they had an arrangement than a relationship.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll give it to Noah on that one. I don't think what he was doing was like, because like, if you get caught cheating, your face looks different.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different conversation. Like,
but all, the other thing I just want to point out is that when Martha leaves, the sun is down. So they
very true
had her there all day,
yeah,
just fucking rubbing it in her face. Part of that's on her. You find an excuse to leave, but like that's cruelty there. You know what I mean? Mm. Be like, hey, you want to come in for a cup of tea? Like Noah even says, I don't know if that's a good idea. She's like, can I meet her? He's like, oh, I don't know.
I understand wanting to meet her though.
You
there's
do?
There's a curiosity in my brain where I'm like, I need to. It would feel like closure to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I would actually prefer that as closure. Because then you see those two people interact together. You understand where kind of this didn't work or this has failed, because we were doomed from Jump Street, right? There's literally nothing I, as a person, could have done to break through this wall. I see you two interact together. I leave.
It's easy. Yeah.
It's easy. I can walk away from that. That makes sense. Like, if you told me every single one of my ex-boyfriends got married right after me, I'd be like, that's sick. Like, I'd be like, that's fucking awesome, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
if somebody cheated on me with the person they end up with, I wouldn't be mad.
Wow.
I wouldn't be mad.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
Because clearly,
that's a big statement coming
you
from
made, Rebecca. You made actually the correct decision.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess you're right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just did not expect that to come out of Rebecca's mouth.
Oh, I know, that sounds so crazy. But, like, obviously I'd prefer you to break up with me first and then pursue it. But, like, if you cheated on, if we were dating and you cheated on me and you ended up with that person,
fair.
I feel so much less bad. I feel pretty good, actually.
Okay, fair enough. Right, fair enough, yeah. I don't know, yeah, Martha got just,
There's so many people in this movie where I'm like, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, she's like, she says she's sensational. She really is. I'd forgotten what it was like to be in love. I've got something to look forward to now. The fucking fortitude of that woman to stand there and say that to that guy.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
Oh my God. No, I think like I am truly team her parents the whole way. They shouldn't be together. Okay. They're toxic together. I only like them when they're old. If you want my very real opinion. Yeah. I only like them when they're old. I find Noah way too like intense in a creepy way. Like, you need to go out with me. He even tricks her to go out with him because they set up a double date between him and their friends. Like, she even sits on the side of her friend. Like, she's giving you every example that this is a no. And it's supposed to be romantic of like, isn't it so cute he didn't take no for an answer? No, it's never cute, actually.
That's
a horrifying thing to do to anybody.
Yeah. There is one last thing I do want to touch on with Allie's parents. Allie's mom in particular, which is she goes, I think they have this big argument, how could you hold my letters and everything like that. And she goes, I know more. I'm more like you than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes her in the car ride to the, to I guess, a quarry. And drives up in the fancy car and is like, look, when I was a young, also in this town, I found like some young, hot piece of ass guy. And she's like, I love your father, but like, I'm still not over this dude. And she's like, he's not much to look at now, but oh, wow. So first of all, so fucking weird that she's holding a candle for this summer love that she had all the way back when.
Yeah.
But fine. Beyond that. Look at that interaction. She's like, oh, and whenever I'm in town, I sometimes just come by and look at him. Look at that interaction from that man's perspective. they are in a very fancy car for the area. There is no way that that car, it's not like it's a Honda that just drives, you know, a black Honda that just drives up and parks in a parking lot. You're like, I could be anyone.
You know who
this
that
is. You know who this is. That car stands out. So what from his point of view, every couple years, he's just at his job at this quarry and this woman drives up in a fancy car, just stares at
That's
him.
That's so funny, dude. Yes.
Never comes to talk to him. And he knows who she is.
Of course. Of course.
Like, imagine.
That's so funny.
Imagine your ex just shows up at your work sometimes, never says anything to you, and just like stares at you and goes away for a couple years.
Yeah. Just whispers you're a bit of a bitch and peels out. Like. Oh, fuck, that's so fun.
Just screaming it in the back, like as a tire screen. It's like, I'm sorry, cheating on you. We gotta make you a bit of a bitch.
Fucking screaming, dude. Oh my God. Can I just say, like, one of my favorite. So watching this movie, this is just offside, but it made me laugh so fucking hard, dude. So I got to the end of this movie, right? And of course, full blubber at this point. They both just die. Like, it's all like, it's mostly like the elderly couple by the end, right? So I'm just like fucking sobbing. I'm giving it, dude. Once we turn the waterworks on, they're not shutting off for a couple of minutes, right? So I'm fucking bawling my eyes out. And I watched it on Netflix, and Netflix pops up. You know, they have like, you might may like. And I swear to God, the first trailer they put up where they were like, Netflix suggestions you may like Bullshit the Game Show. Da 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 da. And I started laughing so fucking hard, dude. I was crying because I was like just in this full sob emotionally. And they're like, you bullshit. May like Bullshit. Do you like Howie Mandel? And it's like, no, I want to throw him in a river. Thank you. Like,
yeah. Oh my God.
Screaming. Anyway, I just thought that was so
that is
fucking
hilarious.
Funny.
Read the room, Netflix.
Yeah, read the room. Read the room. What the fuck's going on? Anyway.
I just need to pick your brain on this, though, because the final, they die.
Yes.
Do you think he did it?
What? say to me? Do you think he did? What do you mean he did it?
Like, is that a murder-suicide?
Jesus Christ, no. That, I don't believe that is the message at fucking all.
Well, like, I...
You know, no, because- okay, here's what I think they're portraying there, which is a lot less dark than what you were thinking, well, actually.
It
is
fits
that,
with his character, though, doesn't it?
Holy hell, dude, you're flipping it. Oh my God. Okay. So what I think they're trying to depict here is that, like, you know, elderly couples, like when one person dies, the other one dies pretty shortly after. I think, like, there have in the past been reports of people dying, like, extremely close together just because it's like, you're kind of just holding on for the other person. And then once that's just it. And I think that's kind of what they were trying to do there. Of like, oh, this is very sweet. They died together. Like, it's just like they were both. That was it. And not the murder suicide.
Yeah. And murder suicide.
I can't. I just keep thinking about how different of a fucking movie that is.
Right. Oh, we should have started with this then.
Holy shit.
Because here's the thing. And murder suicide is
kind of matches his character.
It's like, if I can't have you, known well.
Oh my God, chills, chills. Craig, chills. Oh my God.
And it's a little strong word because you could also say that's like, that is, she's not doing well, he's not doing well. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I don't think she blinked the code at him like, kill me. Like, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, she said, she does say, do you think our love, this is why I think this, do you think our love could take us away together? And he goes, I think our love can do anything.
Yes, and that's the magic of the movie, Craig, not a request.
I think that is. I think, you know,
I'm screaming.
But you pop a couple of like extra heart medications in there.
Oh my God, Craig, chills. Cat, if you're listening, run. Run, Cat, run.
It's like we're both so sick and I can't live without, you know, it's a... end of life care, let's put it that way. But I don't think that a woman with dementia can consent to that is the other problem.
Okay, so I don't think that's what the movie's doing.
Okay. You're like, this is the bridge too far. We've defended literal death on this podcast.
I just
it cannot
stand. We're on the hour and I'm like, whoa. Like you threw a grenade in and I wasn't ready. You know what I mean? Like I thought we were closing down, wrapping up and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I did not expect it. Man, Craig, you've been so good at just coming out with a hot one. Like, I'm like, where the fuck did that come from?
I didn't even think that was that hot of a take. I was just like, I don't know. Like, there's some ambiguity there. And I was like, apparently for nobody but me.
I just think that I've watched this movie so much that I've literally never questioned that scene ever. Okay.
All right. No.
And maybe if it was my first watch, like I would maybe have that. Like I would maybe have that thing of like, did that guy just? But at no point has that entered my brain. Oh my God, brilliance. Okay, that's so great.
I think we end it there.
Yeah, absolutely, we do. There's nothing topping that. Okay, we're done. We're fucking done.
Oh my God.
All right, so I guess it's time for our ranking of the heroes and villains. I've actually got my rankings are Netflix suggestions after this movie.
Right.
So from Netflix suggest Human Centipede to Old Boy, I'm going to give the parents, oh my God. I'm going to give the parents A Cabin in the Woods, okay? Regardless of what movie you're watching, great suggestions across the board. Just great. Okay. Great suggestions. I believe you. Do your thing.
Love it. Amazing. So I've got the strong silent type scale.
Ooh, because
absolutely nobody does the silent thing like Ryan Gosling. You know what I mean? Drive and all that.
Oh, yeah, it's done.
So I'm doing the strong silent type scale, a.k.a. Ryan Gosling's best movie quote scale. Okay. So on a scale of 2, I'm giving Lon...
You jackass!
Is that clever or was Craig just lazy coming up with something today?
Oh, my God.
I hope that plays.
Oh. So
it's
crazy.
It's not your recording.
No, your audio didn't
cut
out.
Your audio is fine. awesome. Well, guys, we're going to get to our heroes and villains of the week in a second. But first, if you want a couple ways you can support the podcast. First of all, if you have a couple bucks to spare, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service that lets you support the artists that you like. And hey, hopefully that's us. And in exchange for that, you get all kinds of benefits. So at our highest tier, $7 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes every month. You get a Craig pick, a Rebecca pick, and as well, you get to vote on audience choice. You get early release episodes. We've got lots of different tiers with lots of different benefits. So go ahead and check it out and see if there's something you like. And if you can, sign up. And if not, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for telling your friends about us. And if you want to get in touch,
as always, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter, The Villain Was Right on Facebook, and villainwasright@gmail.com if you want to slip into our email. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. What do you got for us, Craig?
Yeah, so I've got... in this movie, they kind of accidentally break up after that fight with their parents. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So that just reminded me of... I'm definitely the villain here.
Yeah. But, oh, okay. Oh, shit!
Yeah. So in college, I was, like, dating this girl. And it was, like, somewhat new, but, like, also kind of... like nearing the end of the school year, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So at one point we were out for dinner together, just like at a pub or whatever. We just start talking and I go like, oh yeah, I guess we'll like have to figure out what's happening like at the end of like the school year or whatever. Cause like I wasn't going to be staying in town. And she goes like, yeah, I guess, can we just not talk about this right now? And, like, I don't know what it was in my head where I didn't get that hint. But I was like, I mean, you know, like, we just, you know, there's no reason we can't talk about, like, what's going to happen. And then she's like, well, then I guess we're breaking up. And I was like, oh. And she's like, now. And I was like, oh. She's like, because if we're not going to stay together, like, after that, then why are we together now? And I was like,
oh shit,
I don't know. Yeah.
panic.
And I was like, I didn't, that wasn't the conversation I wanted to have. So I ended up accidentally breaking up with this girl, mm-hmm. like over what was just supposed to be like a fun pub, like dinner, you know, like couple drinks and like
holy
hamburgers
shit.
Or whatever. And so we were like, oh, okay. And then like we pay the bill and go to leave, but like we're poor students, so we're obviously taking the bus. And, like, we had to take the same bus together. And I just, like... So it was just this, like, the most awkward thing of, like, standing on this bus, like, face-to-face with each other. Because, like, the buses
Bunny.
Only came, like, half an hour, right?
Bus
like,
breakup.
Yeah. Woo. So we broke up at dinner and then had to stand on this bus for, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes as it drove us, like, to our part of town. And I was just, like... That was the most awkward bus ride. Like,
holy
I should have walked or something, you know, but
she
like,
tells that story at parties.
I know. I know.
She talks about that for sure.
Absolutely.
I would.
Absolutely awful. Absolutely terrible. But
that's so fucking
that's
funny.
Me. I'm the villain there for sure.
Oh my God. Okay. So I have something interesting to talk about this week because we had a special request come in.
Oh,
we had a special request come in. Now, okay, I'm going to be honest with you, Craig. I can't remember if I talked about this on a Patreon episode or a regular episode. So I'm just going to describe this very quickly to everyone.
Yes.
I have a man. There's a man in the comedy community that I actively call my nemesis. Okay, I call him my nemesis. I do not like this man at all, okay? I really think he's a trash human being. Anyway, so I tell a lot of people... this is so fucking dumb and just for me. I tell a lot of people... that he's my nemesis in hopes that one day he will come up to me and be like, excuse me, I'm sorry. Are you telling people I'm your nemesis? I know it's so fucking stupid and silly, but I can't stop doing it. It just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It really makes me happy. So we had somebody email us.
It was on Patreon.
It was Patreon. So maybe it was on a Patreon episode. And so we had a request of like, I need to know more. I need like a couple of stories. I need to know about this man. So here's the deal, team. I'm going to give you a little taste. Okay. Just a little taste. Cause I have so many stories. Craig knows. I've told him all.
There's a reason.
Yes. There's a hard reason. This man is very evil. Okay. So I'm going to tell one story and I'm going to make you guys a deal. There's going to be a second crazier story on our bonus episode this month. Okay. So I'm going to give you two. All right. So I'm going to start with the OG one on this bug. Okay. Obviously this man is the villain of the story, by the way, if that wasn't implied.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this might sound pretty soft, but this is where we started. Okay. I wasn't even on the show. I was just accompanying another comedian to go down and like watch some shows in London, right? My nemesis was picking, I'm just going to call my nemesis, by the way.
London, Ontario, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yes, London, Ontario. I'm going to London, Ontario. Oh my God. So he's picking us up at like the GO station or whatever to drive us all down to London to they're doing the show. I'm going to watch the show, whatever, right? I never met this man before. I get in the car and it is immediate. I'm not even going to say what he was saying in the car because it's all like really crazy and there's no reason to like get into trigger shit or whatever. But I'm just going to leave it at what he was saying in the car was extremely unpleasant and I knew I disliked him e-fucking immediately. Okay, I was like, I hate this bitch. For sure, I hate this. Everything that's come out of your mouth is fucking terrible. Anyway, on our way back, okay, and I know that this is going to sound so fucking petty, but no one has ever done this to me before. And I was like, excuse you, this is the worst, okay? So first of all, I'm not on the shows and he makes me pay for gas. And I'm like, all right, like, I don't love that, but that's kind of a gray area. I guess I'm in the car, whatever. Yeah. The comedian I'm with doesn't have any cash on him. I end up paying for 2/3 of this gas, but whatever, right? So I've just given this guy gas money. I didn't really believe I should give him, but that's fine. Okay. Like I'm just going to pay it, pay your way. I don't mind, whatever. Right. So we get into the gas station that's got a Tim Hortons in it. And I'm like, okay, so like going to get us some brekkie, whatever. Right. So like me and the comedian I'm hanging out with, we're both ordering and it becomes very apparent that the individual that I am I didn't offer to buy him shit, okay? Because I hate you. You're a misogynist piece of... Anyway, I'm not going to get into it, but he said a lot of shit in the car right up that I was like, I will not give this man a dime if I can, okay? So I normally, like, if you're driving, normally I'd offer to buy whatever. You need some drinks, you need something, whatever. But I don't to this man because I'm like, fuck you. I fucking hate you, okay? I'm not offering you shit, dude, okay? So we get in, and it becomes so apparent that he's so pissed that I haven't offered to buy him food that he literally yells his order over my shoulder while I'm ordering and then walks away so I have to pay for it. That's frosty, man. Yeah. I don't care for that. I don't care for that. I don't like people that make me pay for their shit when they're also evil. Okay.
Yeah.
This shit he said in the car right up. And I know, guys, I know that sounds so petty. Okay. Like that sounds.
No, but I know the kinds of things.
Yeah. Like it just sounds so petty because it's like whatever.
Second that he is a piece of shit.
I should just let it go. I should just let it go. It was a fucking, it was like an egg sandwich and a coffee. Okay. It costs like $4 fucking. But the audacity to yell an order over another human being and walk away because you're like, fuck you, you didn't offer to pay for my food. No, I would never offer to pay for your food. You're a fucking asshole. Yeah. I hate you so much. And I'll just say the story I'm going to drop on the Patreon is going to be much spicier. Okay. Much, much spicier. So look out for that. We're very excited to do that. Anyway, sorry. So he's going to be my villain of the week this week. Where could people, you got anything coming up, Craig?
I'm actually going to be, is coming out on the 5th. So I'm actually, going to be, emceeing at Absolute Comedy in Ottawa, May 17th through the 22nd. So if you want to catch me live and you're in Ottawa or the surrounding area, come on out for that. Absolutecomedy.ca for tickets. You can also sign up for my mailing list at craigfay.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, at Craig Faye Comedy.
Oh, that's great, man. We're going to miss each other by a week. I'm in Ottawa,
really?
Like the week before. Anyway, guys, as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing. Guys, next week we're going to be covering the classic Night at the Museum. So fun. I'm so excited for that episode, guys. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you that some people are a bird and some people are cats.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.